Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
A very good afternoon to you, Sabrina Hahn.
And a good afternoon to you. Did you enjoy the rain we had on Monday?
Glorious.
Oh,
glorious.
A beautiful Friday, and then I can't remember Saturday.
And then all the rain.
And then the rain came.
The heavens opened and great day for ducks and gardens.
I did a lot of pruning, actually.
Well, it is time to prune,
yeah.
as we're discovering every Tuesday and Saturday when every call is about pruning. Hey, Sabby, the topics in this wild and wonderful world of radio, we're talking about soap earlier.
Yes.
Because apparently young people think it's a bit gross and for oldies, whatever.
Yeah.
But then somehow we got into what else do you use soap for? I had no idea.
Heaps of stuff.
Well, of course you know.
Yeah.
I'm constantly being schooled on all manner of things.
Because I remember an old carpenter, because I had those big old solid wooden drawers, a jarrah dresser, and they get stuck. So he told me the trick with rub the soap along the doodads, and there you go.
That was your uncle. It's fixed.
But in the garden, soap was used so much. So you always had soap that was tied in a bag to the tap, to the outdoor tap, because you get filthy dirty, so you'd wash your hands before you went inside to wash your hands. And we used to make all our sprays with you used to get a thing called sunlight soap. I don't know if they still make it with yellow soap. And you'd grate it and then you could mix it with oil, or you could mix it with Condi's crystals, or so you'd use it as a sort of a pesticide.
Get rid of all the bugs.
Yeah, and get rid of it, spray it on your plants for the bugs.
Well, they still, isn't there the recipe for back to, oh my goodness, what are those awful army worms? Like don't people put soapy kind of water into?
Oh, yeah, that's to raid. They don't like it.
Yeah,
and then raise up to the top of the heaps of stuff.
So fixing a fuel tank that's leaking,
Someone
said, we heard from a lovely nurse who used to always use a bit of soap and a few other things when brides used to come into the ED and couldn't get off their wedding rings.
I was worried what you were going to say then.
So many uses
for
the old humble bar of soap.
I actually still use soap. I use...
What, to clean yourself?
Yeah,
amazing.
In the shower. How old-fashioned's that? I find with the liquid it just goes out of your hand.
Far more sustainable, a bar of soap.
Most definitely.
Mosquito bites. Did you know?
Oh,
put a bit of soap. If you accidentally clip the dog's claws a little too close to the quick, whack some soap on it.
Wow.
I learnt so much and I can't believe I've retained most of it. Now, we're actually here not to talk about soap.
No.
Not to talk about soap.
No.
We're here to answer questions. Craig, I'm so sorry. Craig has been patiently waiting.
Hello, ladies. Very pleased to hear your voice of today.
Ah, and you've sent me a picture of a holy hibiscus.
Yes, my dear bride is distraught because she's attacked it twice with white oil, but it's no avail. She thinks a bug is attacking it.
Maybe
you
need some soap, Craig.
I just heard you speaking. I'm thinking maybe I should grate some sunlight soap and give it a spray.
I was going to say, Joe, that you are right on the money there. So, Craig, I've got exactly the same thing happening on my hibiscus at the moment. A very small black beetles, but small, I mean, you know, a millimetre. They're tiny, maybe 2 millimetres. And they're more active early in the morning or late in the afternoon at night. So that soap will work well, and also neem oil.
Neem oil too, eh?
Yeah, okay. So they don't like the smell of the neem. If you use that soap remedy, it makes the leaf really waxy, and they actually don't like the taste
kind
of it.
Kind of slide off, even. Oh no, it probably
So that's the culprit. Now, those little beetles are probably going to overwinter fairly soon. I think we've got a couple of 7-degree mornings coming up.
She literally.
Yep. Yeah, and that's really going to they'll just go to ground. But I would honestly do the soap spray or the neem oil spray.
And okay. Craig, a lovely listener has just come with some helpful, useful information. Apparently, Sunlight soap is definitely still available.
Oh, there you go.
Brilliant.
Get your hands on that. Get grating.
So you grate it and then you mix it. So you need about 3 tablespoons of grated soap to 1 litre of water.
Happy grating, and then you will also have a happy wife, Craig. Then, I think she was a bit distressed.
And then don't immediately go and make grated cheese sandwiches.
No, don't
they will
do that.
Taste very bumpy.
Thank you, Jeff, for the info about the Sunlight soap. It is almost 2:30. Let's squeeze in one more call before we get the headlines and a weather update. I think, Bryony, you want to transplant some citrus trees. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ladies. Yes, please. I have a question. I have 3 not yet mature citrus trees that aren't getting enough sun, I don't think.
Yeah.
And they're only probably about 1 metre tall.
Yep.
And I just wanted to move them to a sunnier spot, but I'm not sure when and how to do it.
Okay, easy peasy. So you could still do it now.
Yeah,
And I would do it this week before our 7-degree mornings next week.
Okay.
And they honestly, that's going to be so easy to transplant. No problem.
Yeah, they're not very big. So, And anything special?
Bit of
in
compost.
Terms of fertilizer or compost?
Well,
okay.
I wouldn't fertilize them when you're transplanting them. I'd wait for them to shoot, get some new growth, and then you can fertilize. So, a bit of compost, bit of sheep, cow, or chicken, not chicken poo, sheep or cow poo, horse, elephant, llama poo, any of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And a wetting agent, and in they go.
All right. Thanks very much for your help.
Okay. Thanks, Bryony.
Bye.
See you, Bryony. Phil says she adores soap. Best present to give her. Nothing better than a long bath with a delicious smelling soap.
Mm.
And she's very happy to report that her 40-year-old son has inherited her love of special soaps. So not one of the Gen Zs who think it's all a bit gross. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were talking about the pubes on the soap and somebody's... They would be the cleanest pubes in the world. Slim's putting his finger up.
You could use wombat poo because it's square, so you could just lay them out like brick paving.
Yeah. But I didn't think – I thought the new thing with the Gen Z was no hair on the body.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
it's all
thing.
Gone.
Yeah, there's
I
nothing.
Reckon it's coming back.
You reckon?
I think so.
We'll do a poll.
Okay. How many Gen Zers have you seen naked?
No, I just go up straight and ask them. I ask all my kids' friends. I just go, so what is it? Is it your slip and slide or is it a little bit of matting?
Grass.
A little bit of matting there for you.
Okay, we'll just leave that right. Ruth, Claire, Robert, Beth, we're going to come to you all very shortly. Ruth, what's going on with your, is it a jarrah tree? There's an issue with a jarrah tree?
Yeah, my jarrah tree died about 2 years ago. It's about 10. Yeah, I know. It was very sad. Used to provide the shade. So it's about 10 metres high. It's got at least an 8-metre spread. It'd been limping along for a long time. So I wanted to... Yeah, I know. We tried everything. Yeah. But I wanted to know, because it's still got beautiful structure.
Yeah.
And there's lots of, you know, birds that still go up there. But what I want is to restore the shade that it used to provide. So.
Right.
It's a tough question, but I need a creeper or something that can go over there to provide westerly, shade to the house.
Yeah.
I reckon, Ruth, Savvy's all over it. You should see her eyes. You're saying tough question.
Okay,
she's like, I've got the answer.
But I think it's
we're
great.
Only on tank water.
Okay, so it
water.
Needs to be a hardy climber.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a really lovely pandorea.
A pandorea?
Yeah. Now, if you live in the hills, it becomes a weed. But
well,
there's...
not so much here because most things die in my property. I don't think. And we're pretty harsh on weeds. And,
Well,
things,
there's one called Ruby Bells and it's actually sterile. So you won't get seed dropping from it. So Pandorea Ruby Bells. Is and it has beautiful sort of pinky reddish bell flowers on it.
Yeah. I'm just interested in leaves and shadies.
Yeah, it's got deep, glossy green leaves.
Lots of foliage.
Lots of foliage. It's a really, really, so it sort of doesn't fill out at the very base of the climber. It's all the business up the top. So I think
Marianne will love that comment, Sabby. Marianne Sabby knows what's hot to trot.
Yeah.
Nothing at the base.
No, all the business at the top. But it's fast growing, it's hardy, it gets flowers, it attracts all the bees, all the birds, the honey eaters. The only other thing I can think of that would do well up there is the honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle. Oh, I had a look at them.
Yeah.
I might do maybe two or
and
three
then there's,
on the base.
Okay.
See, so the strongest survives.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yep.
Survival of the fittest. Yep. Ruth, good luck with that. Now, Claire is in Burns Beach, and I think you want to follow up with a question you asked about 6 months ago. Claire, is that right?
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Claire.
So I rang you maybe 6 months ago regarding a yellow gum that I had in my verge that I sent you a photo of and you said it was a pH issue.
Yep.
So I did all the things that you asked me to do and it came good for a minute and now it's gone all fat again. Ooh. And I'm just thinking I'm kind of giving up. I'm thinking I've given it as much love as I can and it's just not a happy plant.
Yeah.
So I'm prepared to get rid of it and start again.
Yep.
But I'd like to, so I'm 500 metres from the beach in a wind tunnel.
Yep.
And I really, really want to put in food for the cockies. Like I'm big on the black cockatoo food thing. And I'm like desperately trying to, I've got the hakea growing. I've got all these things growing. So I was thinking, could I possibly put a Banksia or two in my little bird?
Absolutely you could. So the beautiful Banksia prionotis, Banksia grandis, Banksia media will all grow their Banksia attenuata. Get the full-size Banksia, Claire, not the dwarf Banksia. But they do really well along the coast.
And they look so beautiful. And good, I mean, good on Claire for really persevering to keep that plant alive. But I think it's goodbye and to the Banksias. Report back, Claire. Let's hear from you in 6 months and hopefully you've got a beautiful Banksia growing on the verge. Robert has got a lemon-scented magnolia, if I'm right. G'day, Robert.
Yeah, that's correct. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello, Robert.
Yeah, we've got this lovely tree. We bought the place about 9 years ago. There was two of them.
Yeah.
It forms a bud, produces a little red sort of berry on the side of it, then falls off.
Right. Now, when you say a lemon-scented magnolia, is that the deciduous magnolia or is it evergreen?
Oh, well, it has leaves all year round.
Okay.
What it was originally, wouldn't know, because it was in the house on the property when we bought it.
Right. Okay. And has it ever flowered since you've been there?
I've never really noticed. I think it did.
Right. I think it's a nutrition and water issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to get wetting agent, get some compost and some cow poo.
Right.
And some fertiliser, slow-release fertiliser for outdoor plants. And I would definitely be putting in rock minerals as well. And then really heavily hand water it.
No, it gets watered with the boil water about 2 or 3 times a week. So
okay, so the problem could,
an issue.
Yeah, but the problem could be the boil water is highly alkaline.
You're right.
So I'd be putting in some sulfur pellets as well to drop the pH.
Yep.
Take the boil water off and it might be a bit tricky because you have it all on a station.
Yeah.
just up with the we have to turn our bores off fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
Hand water it, Robert.
Yeah,
I think you'll find that'll make a difference.
That's good. We've turned the bores off anyway, so just relying on no good rain weather now.
Okay, and I'd give it a little bit more water just to get it, a bit happier.
And hopefully you'll get some flowers. Claire, I'm so sorry. Claire didn't actually get to finish. She wants to know, what does she need to do to the soil to prepare it before she plants those Banksias to give it a good go, Sabby?
Okay, so you've got to be so careful with Banksias because they love impoverished, nutrient-poor, hydrophobic soil. So literally nothing. I would put a little tiny bit of compost in and a little bit of native slow-release fertiliser. But that is all.
There we go, Claire. Now, Beth has sent through an image of her cottonwood. Hi, Beth. Thanks for your patience. You're on the phone.
You are on the phone, Beth. So true.
Hey, ladies. Last year we cut down a very big cottonwood.
Yeah.
We pruned it right down. And, of course, it's growing back. But I'm just not sure how to prune it now. Do I prune it from where the shoots are coming from the large trunk? Or do I? I'm just not sure what to do.
Okay, so it's about half the size of your house now.
Going over my guttering, so it's just.
Okay, so you need to actually thin out the branches right down at base level. I want you to take at least 50% of the branches off. Right down at trunk level. And then you're going to take 2/3 off the remaining branches.
Right.
Because that's the only way you're going to tame it.
Right. Will it shoot at where I cut the branches?
Yes, that's why I'm saying take at least 50% of the branches off altogether.
At the original trunk.
Yeah.
Will they reshoot?
Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to tell. They will eventually reshoot, but it'll fairly knock it back a fair bit.
So it was planted very close to the house originally.
Yeah.
Not us, but the people who did plant it can't believe
the
how
size
much it
of
grew.
It. Yeah. They're huge, and the root system's a major problem.
Yep, and the ones that are growing on the side of the house, they're the ones that I should cut back more because I don't want them going onto the guttering.
Absolutely, and you need to do that during the winter, Beth, because that really slows them right down.
Happy hacking, really, Beth, isn't it?
Certainly, out with the chainsaw.
You have got a bit of pruning to do there. It's a quarter to three, 102.5 FM and ABC Radio WA. Gardening with Sabby is taking place. Let's head to Mandurah. I think Michael is after a suggestion from you. G'day, Michael.
G'day, how are you guys?
Yeah, good, Michael.
This call is no longer being recorded.
I've got a pretty big backyard. I've got some lemon trees going against the back fence, and they're about sort of a metre and a half, 2 metres span apart.
Yeah.
I want to put like a kangaroo paw in between each of them.
No. Nah.
Maybe.
No. Nah.
No, not allowed, okay? Come on.
Not allowed to do that, Michael.
That was a hard no.
reason I say that is because what you need to fertilise your citrus with, the kangaroo paw is not going to like at all.
Okay.
So kangaroo paws are a no, but if you want something that's like a grass, then I would go for did you particularly want a grass or you want something that flowers?
So I've got some brown wood chips. I've got a bit of a wood fence, all that sort of stuff. Beautiful green grass with the lemon trees.
Yeah.
And I want to sort of keep it sophisticated but native Australian at the same time. I don't want anything too over the top.
Yeah.
I just want to get on the house, you know.
You've really thought about this, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. No, you know, when you sit out back having a beer, you want to be able to look at something nice.
I'm with you 100% there, Michael. So not kangaroo paws, but there's things like Pimelia. Do you know the rice flower, Pimelia? So you've got Pimelia. You've got Eriostemon, which are a beautiful little shrub. And they will take the fertilizer that you're going to give your citrus trees.
Okay.
Then you've got some of the, you know what else I'd put in is some of the salvias. So there's about 250 different salvias, which are perennial, and they have, there's some that have the most stunning deep, deep blue flowers and attract all the bees and the little honey eaters. They love them. So
okay,
I'd go for stuff like that.
Oh, and then take a photo and send it through to us once you're done, Michael. Happy planting. Now, Keith's in Broome.
Ah, beautiful Broome.
G'day, Keith.
Hello, how are you?
Wish I was in Broome.
So do I.
I've been the lucky recipient of somebody's dracaenas that they've trimmed up.
Yeah.
And they're about, one of them's about 2 metres tall. I want to know how to ensure their success when I plant them or put them in a pot or something. How do I make sure that they're going to survive? Because I don't want them to die and have that wasted that opportunity.
That hanging over your head and be sent to purgatory. Now, the good thing for you is, Keith, that dracaenas are extremely difficult to kill. So basically, you dig a hole and shove them in the ground. It's as simple as that.
Do I need to, trim the trunk because they're quite, ragged? Do I need to trim the trunk?
So wherever you prune them, they will re-sprout from that area. So they're really, they're fantastic. I mean, they will grow in just about any soil type. They love Broome because it's nice and humid. So, you know, put them in with a bit of potting mix, a bit of compost, or you're going to put them in pots.
Mate, it really sounds like, Keith, if you kill these things, you are going to be in
trouble. Yeah, I know. That's why I want to get it right.
Are you putting them in pots or in the ground?
I'm going to put this person had a huge pile of them that they're giving away. So I've got four or five of them. So
great.
Maybe you can give them to some friends, and then if you mess up, hopefully the friends won't, and then you can claim that they've got.
I do have some already, but they're not quite this big.
Yeah, no, that's great. You've scored big ones. Yeah. Honestly,
and they'll grow in the pindan sand up here.
They certainly will. Yep, absolutely. Awesome. They'll love the pindan. Love it.
Good luck. Good luck with that, Keith. We're all coming up to visit as it gets colder down here. 10 to 3, I'm going to squeeze in a couple more calls. Kate, tell us what your issue is. I think honeysuckle plants.
Yes, I was under the illusion you couldn't buy them anywhere, but I had a cutting about 40 years ago from a friend that we took to each house we went to.
Yeah.
And until my husband got dementia and we did it straight out the garden.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise you could buy them.
Oh, you most definitely can, Kate.
Oh, right. Okay,
so
good.
There's three different varieties available. If you go to a nursery, because the wholesale nurseries grow honeysuckle plants, if they don't have any, because what happens with retail nurseries is they usually get stuff in when it's in flower because it sells like hot
They just
cakes.
Want the popular, yeah, in yeah. and out, in and out.
Yeah, so, but they grow them and they're definitely available. No problem at all. So if you go to a nursery and you order it, they'll get it in for you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's good news.
Beautiful.
Kate, oh, my goodness. So we were listening to Roz Thomas earlier with Nards, Kate. I'm not sure if you missed it, talking about her mum and dementia, but the pulling of the plants out.
Oh, no. Oh, God, I hope I don't do that.
Oh, it's tricky. Oh, Kate's gone. Sorry, Kate. Okay. Let's chat to Stuart in Palmyra. Stuart, what's happening to your veggie seedlings?
I need help.
Oh, Stuart, what's happening?
Something's been smashing my lettuce seedlings, my English spinach and the normal silver beet and cauliflower and my broccolini. I've cut pots up, put barriers around, I've put copper tape up, I've sprayed with chili garlic oil, I've been out at the middle of the night, you know, looking for things.
Yeah.
I've actually now put wire mesh all over the place.
Yeah.
I've only seen a couple of slaters. I've only seen a couple of snails. Just the odd green grub. You know what I mean, caterpillar. And I haven't caught it. I haven't caught any mice or rats yet.
Okay.
I just don't know what to do.
Well, if it's anything like my garden, and I live in the next suburb from you, Stuart, and you can't see the little buggers, it's slugs.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I've put heaps of, you know, like pellets around, but
No. They won't work on slugs. Now, what does work is you go and you buy some cucumber.
Yep.
And you cut them into like half-inch chunks and you're going to put cucumber all around your seedlings.
Yep.
Slugs cannot resist cucumber. So
neither
you
can my boy.
Well, tell him not to eat the ones you're putting around the, your seedlings. Because you will get, because cucumber's got so much moisture in it and there's something in it that they just love.
But do you have to do something to them so that?
Yeah, well, no, well, yes. Yes, but no, but yes, but no. So the slugs go to the cucumber, right? So so you put the cucumber out in the morning and then every afternoon or late afternoon, you pick the cucumber pieces up.
Squish, drop them.
Well, it's easier because you'll get heaps. Easier just to drop the whole cucumber pieces with attached slugs in a bucket of soapy water and they die.
Okay. Okay. All right,
honestly, if you
do
that consecutively.
There's another use for soap.
No, cucumber. Oh, yeah. Another use for soap. Absolutely. Honestly, I had no idea. Slugs, because they flatten themselves, you cannot see them. And I had the same problem. I went out at night with a head torch and
couldn't find
infrared cameras and all sorts of things. And that's what it was. It was slugs.
Bring out the little cucumbers and off you
I'll
go. Slug hunting.
Ladies.
Slug hunting. Good luck, Stuart. Good afternoon, Justin. What's happening?
On slugs, I forgot to mention bread dough.
Oh.
Yeast.
Oh, then they eat it.
They get stuck in the dough. Oh, okay. It's hilarious.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, if you want to be entertaining, Stuart, go the bread dough. Otherwise, the cucumbers.
Raw bread dough. Raw.
Justin, what's happening with your woolly bush?
Hi, I bought my mum a woolly bush for Christmas a couple of years ago. We're just wondering if it was going to flower.
Well, yes.
It hasn't flowered yet.
Is it in full sun?
Yes.
And how old is it, Justin?
Oh, it'd be two Christmases ago.
Okay, so sometimes they will take 3 years to flower. Now, I know people think that native plants don't need much at all, but if you give it some native slow-release fertiliser, that encourages flowering in spring. So if you do that towards the end of winter, you should be getting some beautiful flowers, and the flowers are really small, Justin.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would wait until the end of winter. Slow release fertilizer and maybe a little bit of some liquid seaweed as well.
Yep.
And I think you'll find that'll kickstart it off.
Your woolly bush will be flowering. Good on you, Justin. Oh, I love it, giving his mum a plant. Now, very quickly, Savvy, Sally in York, her pears look fine on the outside, not so fine on the inside. Have you got some advice?
Yes, that's actually, there's two things going on there. Number one is fruit fly, and number two is a little bit of brown rot that's come in from the stem, which is quite common in pears. So when the pear is dormant, you have to give it a liquid copper spray and put up your fruit fly baits. It's the med fly, Mediterranean fruit fly, not the Q fly.
Okay. Good luck with that, Sally. Now, can Linda, I hope you're still listening. Linda wants to repot her boab tree. It's here, I think.
Yeah.
If so, is now a good time? She goes into dormancy in the shed, or when she comes back out in November, she's about 10 foot tall.
Yeah, because it's still full of leaf, you can actually do it now. She's got an awesome insect hotel.
Isn't that stunning?
You know, the thing about insect hotels is people make them too shallow, so you just don't get that thermal mass, which bees need, the native bees and insects need.
Linda, that is impressive.
It's a cracker. Anyway, your boab tree. So, yes, I would repot it now before it starts dropping all its leaves. Yep.
Okay.
It's a ripper specimen, Linda. You've done really well.
And also a nice sundial.
Yeah. Yeah.
We quite like your garden, Linda.
I love your garden. I get rid of the ivy. But apart from that.
Well, it looks like Linda's started to get rid of the ivy in a way.
She has.
I love the bee.
I love the insect hotel. It's just gorgeous. Oh, yeah, she's ripped all the ivy off the wall because it's actually eating the wall and the fascia board.
Huh. One more question.
Yes.
Lazy Gardener Karen.
Yes.
Wants to know, is it a good time to plant everlasting daisies?
Perfect.
And does she mix seeds collected from last year's crop?
Yes.
Anything, or can she just scatter and hope for the best?
So I would mix it in a bucket with vermiculite, cocoa fibre or perlite and then scatter it.
There you go.
That'd be beautiful.
You're not that lazy a gardener, Karen, if you actually kept your seeds from last year. I'm impressed.
Oh.
I'm impressed, as I always am with you, Savvy. Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure, Jo.
We will do it all again soon.
We'll talk about soap more often.
That was gardening.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.